This is Checkpoint XP.
Esports and gaming radio.
CheckpointXP.com.
Hey, welcome on in to Checkpoint XP, your number one source for gaming and esports news. Nate, Robbie, and Norris are actually all off enjoying their Christmas breaks. We're going to be back to a live show starting in 2020. But what that means is that you get to hang out with me. Hey, what's up? It's Weirdbeard, going to be taking you on through as your ghost of Christmas past for all the best of what's happened in Checkpoint XP this year. Now, the biggest question that we've had to struggle with in 2019 is just what is the most expensive game that you're going to be willing to buy? Games are now sitting at around $60 a piece. Let's join this conversation on the best of Checkpoint XP.
Well, we start today taking a look at, you know, some of the different Netflix-style options that video games seem to have put out there as of recently. Apple has been the latest one to add to this, but it's really forced us to wonder whether $60 is feasible to charge for a video game.
Yeah, and, you know, this is based on an article that Patricia Hernandez did for Polygon, so I want to give credit where credit is due. And they posit that spending $60 on a video game doesn't make sense anymore.
From a consumer standpoint.
And what they're talking about is a new game came out and they were stuck with kind of a weird option. Do I spend $60 and purchase this game and start playing it?
Right.
Or do I get my Xbox Game Pass subscription for $9.99 and play it there?
Right.
And they say, sure, I don't own the game if I do the Game Pass subscription, but do I really care
once I
beat the game?
Yeah, because it was Gears 5 that she was talking about, which is something you're going to beat in a weekend anyway, and something that I'm going to eventually pick up. And I had a lot of trouble finding any flaws in her logic.
Well, not just that, is that especially as these, you know, sort of subscription services start popping up, like I'm in the same boat with EA Access and FIFA, right? So even though I would have to pay not necessarily 60, you get 10% off, but you get early access to the game with EA Access, there's no reason for me not to get the EA Access version because I get to play it early and I still get the game and all my progress and all that other stuff. So there's really no reason for me not to save the 10% on it and get it there.
Well, and I think the reason that games stayed at $60 for a new price point, you know, brand new MSRP, has been, you know, $59.99 now for the better part of... When did that become standard?
Man, as long as I can remember.
25 years ago?
I mean, yeah. Well, even going back all the way to the Super Nintendo and the Sega Genesis, I remember games being $60.
Well, the N64 had some that came out for $50. I think $60 became the solidified price point around, like, PS1, PS2.
Okay. I would say PS1 era, or PS2 era.
Well, the thing that kind of made that more palatable was you knew, if you didn't like the game that you had just spent $60 on, that you could take it back to GameStop and trade it in, or Funko Land, or EDX, or whatever.
Get $3 back.
I understand that. I understand that. But that was always sort of the logic that was happening. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, if I don't like it, there's something else that I can do with it.
You have the option to resell.
And a lot of times that was predicated on having an actual physical copy of the game, right? You had the disc, you had the cart. You could, in theory, trade them with your friends if you wanted to.
Or resell.
Which is something that, you know, at my middle school and high school was something that was very common. Trading games.
Basically, aftermarket.
Yeah.
There was a gaming aftermarket.
There was a very healthy aftermarket. And it seems like the video game industry went very far out of its way to try to disrupt, not necessarily destroy. I think that's a little bit kind of heavy. But they went out of their way to disrupt that secondary market. And the fact that they did that, I think, makes it a much more dicey proposition to go, all right, $60 for this game. All right, well, I'm like 50-50 on whether I'm going to like it. I am way less likely to plunk down $60 if I'm not at least, so, you know, like more than 50% sure that I'm actually going to get some amount of enjoyment or amount of time out of this game.
Well, and that's another big thing, and especially nowadays with the advent of freemium games, if you will, whereas, you know, League of Legends, Fortnite, all that other stuff, where people are putting copious amounts of hours into a game that they technically didn't have to spend any money
and
on.
And I think that's the equalizing force. That's the kind of democratizing force here, is you have such successful free-to-play games that people end up spending money on the premiums for, so everyone's happy. You didn't spend a dime to get in the door, the developers are making their money, and you didn't actually have to spend that much in developing the product in the first place.
Yeah, and I think, you know, when we talk about, you know, the future of, you know, how we spend our money with video games, I think we do need to maybe rethink that MSRP, because, like, for example, Joe, you're playing Link's Awakening right now, the new remake of Link's Awakening, right?
Yes.
That game already was at max, what, a 20-hour game?
It was a Game Boy game.
Max?
It was a Game Boy game. Yeah. I don't know that you even got 20 hours
maybe
out of it.
10 to 15 hours out of Link's Awakening?
Sure.
Like, that's a $60 game. Like, in your opinion right now, can you justify a $60 game for Link's Awakening?
I don't think it's a $60 game, and that's actually what leads into this next point here, is that all too often now, or maybe not all too often, depending on how you look at it, games that launch at $60, unless they are obscenely popular, unless they are over the moon popular,
The Witcher 3 popular,
right? Yeah, they'll be $10 to $20 off within weeks of launch.
That is very true.
You'll already be able to get them for 33% off in some cases.
So to me,
it's
that
hard
says,
to justify a $60 purchase on almost anything.
So to me,
point.
That says, why are developers still releasing games at that price point? Is that something that's being required by the retailers? What is that? Because for me, they got a lot of games out nowadays that are coming out for $20, $30, $40,
yeah.
And I feel like I'm getting a much better value at that price point.
You're listening to Checkpoint XP Esports and Gaming Radio. We're currently talking about, you know, whether or not games still deserve to be at $60 a pop. And Norris, you hit on a really important point, that a lot of developers are opting to go the cheaper route. They are opting to release their game at $40, $30, you know, even $20 or $10,
yeah,
because they know that that's going to be a much more palatable price point to a wider audience. When you have something along the lines of a Witcher 3, a AAA developed game that has a lot of hype around it, I think you don't have to release it at $60, but I think that you're doing yourself a major disservice not to hit all of the early adopters at that $60 price point. And then, as Joe, you had pointed out, if it doesn't do as well as you thought, or you'd like to try to get a second wave, because the $60 price point is not the reason someone will boycott a game. And if they do, it's going to be a very, very small section of the buying population. You will get that second wave when you drop the price down a little bit.
So my question then, is it more worth it, say, to do something like Game Pass? Is it worth paying that $9.99 a month or whatever it is, I don't remember off the top of my head, to be able to just try out a game? Even if you really love it, like, let's say you play whatever game it is and you do really love it and you want it, that doesn't preclude you from buying it.
Yeah, you can still buy it. Yeah, yeah.
No, and that's the only caveat that I will put out there, is that with something like Game Pass, you're kind of at the whims of that particular platform. If it becomes more of a Netflix style thing where they're just like, games go on and off the platform, we haven't seen that yet.
That would bum me out. I mean,
it would bum me out too, but that there's nothing that could stop a developer or a platform from doing that. So I think that's the only thing that gives me trepidation about it. But from a raw consumer standpoint, there's no reason not to do that and just enjoy your games there for a lower price point.
Well, it seems like that would become the concern. If enough people are doing a subscription style, does it become worth it to continue to try to sell the game at that $60 price point?
Well, you got to wonder how much of the subscription-based service, how much money is getting kicked back to the developers?
Oh,
because
yeah.
if the vast majority of your consumers are now paying, you know, Sony or Microsoft to have access to your game, now it's predicated basically on what Microsoft or Sony will give you to include their game on that service.
Yeah.
I don't think that that's going to be nearly as much as what you can make on the open market.
No, it's true. And I also think another sort of downfall of that is still the concept of that if my subscription lapses, I no longer have access to my games. And even though those price points are lower, I mean, there's still plenty of ways that you can lapse on your subscription. Yeah. Maybe you have to close a card out or something. Whatever. Yeah. Things happen. And as opposed to spending the $60 and the game is mine and I own it, quote unquote, I own it, and I don't have to worry about accessing it on a server or something else ever again.
The other thing that we'll have to be okay with is that, if we're not paying $60 for games and we're making out good on the consumer end, that these companies still want their money, and the only other way for them to get that profit through these games is with microtransactions.
Yeah, by creating an economy around their game that has much smaller purchasing.
So if Cyberpunk 2077 isn't going to be a $60 game, there's going to be microtransactions in it.
I mean, I think that's the part that really sticks in a lot of people's craw is when it's both $60 and you're throwing microtransactions on top of it. I mean, Fallout 76, for as much as I love that game, super guilty of this.
Yeah.
Do you think that, isn't that kind of where it's at, though? I feel like that is out of the bottle. That genie's out of the bottle at this point. Like,
yeah,
there's not going to be games that come out without microtransactions
anymore.
Since
you're nickeling and diming us,
totally.
Give us the cheaper games.
Well, and you know what? There's always going to be, people, content creators that see this problem and point it out. There are always going to be the Jim Sterlings of the world. The question is whether or not there's enough of the general populace that's not out there on YouTube making content that is willing to fork over a significant portion of their paycheck to be able to access this content. But you know what? We want to hear from you. Are you going to be one of those people that opens up your wallet to get access to those pieces of content? Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. Where's the line? How far can they push this? That's what I want to know. In your opinion, how far can developers push this until, people just say, forget it, we're done?
You're listening to the best of Checkpoint XP Radio, hosted with me, your boy, Weirdbeard, hanging out while Nate, Norris, and Robbie are out on vacation. Still ahead, VR and MMOs. How do those two go together? Well, we're going to find out. But ahead next, the holiday wish list for 2019 revisited right before Christmas time. Just in case there's anything that was left off your list, listen ahead next to find out what we said on Checkpoint XP Radio.
This is Checkpoint XP. Check out the latest esports and gaming news and opinions at checkpointxp.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
This is Checkpoint XP,
esports and gaming radio.
CheckpointXP.com.
Another year, another holiday clip show. Hey, it's Weirdbeard on Checkpoint XP Radio, your number one source for esports and gaming news. Now, 2019 was a year full of twists and turns. Consumers finally got some of the things they've been waiting years and years for. But as always, Nate, Norris, and Robbie have more that they want. What would they put on a hypothetical gaming list? Let's find out in this best of from Checkpoint XP Radio 2019.
But we start today revisiting our holiday wish list. Last year, around this time of the year, we sat down and came up with a hypothetical list of things that we would like to see out of the video game industry in 2019. Well, we dug that list out, dusted it off, and we're going to see how many of those things came true.
Spoilers. Our holiday wish list did, I don't think Santa saw it. It did not go great for us.
But we were just all on the naughty list.
Yeah, so. That's more likely. So we're going to go through our list of things that we wished for last year, see how it went, and then we'll create some things for this year.
All right.
So the first thing that we wished for was a Final Fantasy XI HD remake, which while FF11 mobile is theoretically still in development, we haven't heard anything about it in a long time. I definitely don't think that we by any means got an HD remake.
We are saps.
We didn't get it. We did not get it either. No one has explicitly come out
and said it's never happening.
Deny the existence of an FF11 remake ever happening.
No, that doesn't count until it is in the hands of players. It is not counting.
All right, well, we didn't get that one. How about this one? Runaway is completely signed to the Vancouver Overwatch League team and they win it all.
Oh, no!
So close! So close!
So close! was, how does it feel?
I was so close.
It's Naruto Sasuke, man. It's the pain of never seeing it, or the pain of being so close to losing it all.
Norris, you truly are Icarus. You got so close to the sun, but
yeah,
still,
I know
you fell.
I know.
All right, how about this one? Gaguri leads the Shanghai Dragons to at least contend this year. This kind of came true.
I would say that this is half true. I don't know how much Gaguri
directly
had
to
do with it.
It was mostly Gamsu.
It was Gamsu.
But the Dragons, you cannot say,
they
had a bad year.
Stage 3 championship.
Exactly.
Yeah. They did. So, yeah, that one half came true.
Half. Yeah.
All right, number four. More third-party developers embrace the Switch. I think this one actually came
out. That is 100% true.
Everyone embraced the Switch.
Yeah.
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 I think that that is definitely, we can put that into the came true category. Because, yeah, the game library on the Switch is second to none in terms of a handheld device.
Yep.
Yeah.
And is competitive among even, you know, your PlayStations, your Xbox. In fact, for me, it is the platform of choice.
Mm-hmm.
If I have my choice, right? If it's released among all the platforms simultaneously, I will always end up going for the Switch version.
All right. Up next, we've got a prequel sequel to Legend of Dragoon. I think we can thoroughly say that did not come true.
That did not happen.
Come on.
Sony let me down this year.
They did. You were decidedly on Sony's naughty list.
But there are distant whispered rumors of an HD remake.
There's always distant rumors and whispers about a Legend of Dragoon remake or sequel or something.
The guy who did Shadow of the Colossus said that'd be neat to do.
Well,
it'd be
great.
It'd be neat.
You need to have
a hotel in space.
All right. Number six. Toby Fox announces he has assembled his team and Deltarune will release in 2020. That definitely didn't come true. However,
you did get...
There's been a lot of progress made on Deltarune. And actually, I don't know that 2021 is an unrealistic release, actually. So maybe. We'll see.
Yeah.
Seven is the least true of all the ones,
I
think.
Okay.
Number seven, Ninja makes big announcements exclusively on Checkpoint XP.
We're idiots.
I know. But here's the thing. I mean, if you just change the word Checkpoint XP to Mixer.
To Mixer, then we're right.
Yeah, then we're totally
We're actually right on that.
Then we did pretty good. Yeah, that's fair.
So it's half right.
No, it's not.
Shut up. Don't ruin this. Do not ruin this for me.
I think 8 must have been Robbie's. A prequel to Final Fantasy 8 centered around their time in the orphanage.
Yep, that was me.
Which, while that did not come true, we did get a remaster of Final Fantasy VIII, which also does feature their time in the orphanage, I guess.
So are we saying that's a quarter true?
I'll take a quarter.
I suppose that one, is at least a quarter true. Number nine, AAA turn-based games make a strong resurgence in 2019. That one's Nate's, I assume.
Yeah, no.
And I cannot imagine that one came true.
That did not happen.
In any sense.
Although, I mean, well, it still remains to be seen with this throwback mode that the Final Fantasy remake, remake is putting in there.
Still wouldn't call it a resurgence.
I don't know. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what it is.
All right. Number 10. This was our final one that we created last year.
All right.
Detective Pikachu ushers in a dawn of great video game movies. This one, jury is still out.
Here's the thing. I finally saw Detective Pikachu on a plane.
Yes, you finally had a flight to watch it.
It took me a while to watch it, but I finally watched it. And it actually, like, not only is it, it's a good movie. Like, it is a kid's movie, but it is a good movie. And they used the intellectual property from Pokemon perfectly there. The blueprint exists.
Yes.
It just remains to be seen now if future movies will use that as a rubric to go by.
Mm-hmm. That's fair.
You're listening to Checkpoint XP Esports and Gaming Radio. We're currently going through our holiday wish list and, seeing what came true from last year. And now we've got to make a wish list for this year.
Yes, exactly. So I'm going to start us off with our holiday wish list for this year. You guys start thinking about some things you might want to ask Santa for this year.
All right.
We've got some major releases coming out in the spring this year. I want one of them to completely live up to the expectations that we are heaping on it. One of these games, I need it to live up to expectation. FF7 Remake or Cyberpunk.
Yeah.
One of these games, I need it to live up to expectation.
I'm actually going to do something similar there. With Cyberpunk, I want it to be in VR.
Ooh.
Okay, so that's Cyberpunk. That's a very specific. That's,
all right.
Yeah.
I'll say I want FF7 to surprise us and actually include more of the game than they said it would.
Okay.
All right. Well,
would you accept if they announce that the second part of it is releasing sooner than we think?
Yeah, I'll accept that.
Okay. All right.
Interesting.
For me, because there's so much going on about Fallout right now. There's talk about, a new DLC for Fallout 4 that brings some of the Capital Wasteland into Fallout 4. I just want to see a new Fallout game announcement.
Ooh. Okay. Wow, that's a great
one. I got one.
New Fallout game
Wait,
announcement.
Your turn.
I will, but I got
okay.
one.
And no, something like Fallout Shelter does not count.
No, it doesn't.
All right, so I would like to see this come true in the next year. I want to see Google Stadia take off in a big way.
That's Ooh. A big ass.
Now, it is. Does it have to be Google Stadia, or can it be game streaming as a
cloud
notion?
Cloud gaming.
I'll allow it to be cloud gaming. So if it's xCloud or if it's whatever Sony's and Evolance
right.
or who it is.
There's going to be a competitive environment when it, all of the services are going.
You're
so
right. That's fair.
As long as one of them works, then, the theory has been proven.
Okay. Robbie, over to you.
I would like a Switch Pro. Not just this upgraded battery power that we have now, but like one that has substantially more power, better controllers, nice and sturdy. I don't care how big you start to get with it. But I want the opposite of the Switch Lite to come out.
Do you want it announced or it comes out in 2019?
I will accept announced.
Announced. So if it is announced for spring 2021, you're fine?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So it is announced in 2020. All right. Norris, what do you got?
I want a release date for Elder Scrolls 6.
Ooh!
Whoa,
that's
yes.
a big ask right there. That's a big
Scrolls.
Ask. But we're getting there. It was announced two E3s ago?
Yeah, I think you might get a year.
No, I want a date. If it's not a date, it doesn't count.
Okay. I'm gonna piggyback yours and say I want a setting as well, but that's not going to be what the suggestion that
yeah,
I throw
okay,
out there.
We'll put release date and setting.
Release date and setting.
It better be High Rocket Hammer Fist.
If you get a release date, you're definitely getting a setting. Like,
yeah.
They won't
yes.
do one without the other.
Yes.
Yeah. So for me, I would like to see an actual real console war for the next console cycle.
That's a big ass.
I want it to be at least close. I want to feel like I don't know which I should choose, PlayStation 5 or whatever the hell Xbox is doing.
That's a big ask.
I
know. They both have already seen the handhelds. That's not a part of the equation. So it's going to be between those two. But I feel if Joe's theory comes out correctly and cloud gaming takes off, that muddies all the waters in this whole console conversation.
So we've got about a minute and a half, about 90 seconds left here.
Real quick here, then.
No, I got one. Junker Queen gets announced in Overwatch.
All right, Junker Queen gets announced in Overwatch. All right, I'm going to go ahead and say that I want Grand Theft Auto 6.
Oh, yeah.
Very good.
I'll agree with that.
Very
okay.
good.
I'll agree with that.
2020 Overwatch season goes well, and we get expansion teams for the next year.
Okay, 2020 season goes well.
Final one for me. Yep. Any MMO that looks like it's worth investing in. Anything. I'll take anything, please. I'm desperate. But listen, we want to hear from you. What makes your holiday wish list? And it's not just a game, it's not just an item, but what from the video game industry do you want to see happen in 2020? Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram.
You're listening to the best of Checkpoint XP Radio, a holiday show going back through the best of the best of 2019 for Checkpoint XP Radio, your home for esports and gaming news. If you want to see how that last segment played out, find a recap on our website at checkpointxp.com. Still ahead, VR in MMOs. We break down all the acronyms that you could possibly ever want to know. But ahead next, move over Matt Damon. We got Ninja over here. How big is an esports celebrity in today's world? Find out on Checkpoint XP Radio, coming up next.
This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Ready, set, go!
Welcome into Checkpoint XP Esports and Gaming Radio. A complete look at all things esports and gaming. A production of Beasley Esports XP.
You're listening to the best of Checkpoint XP. Hey, it's Weirdbeard hanging out with you through the best of what was the year of 2019 in Checkpoint XP Radio. How large are celebrities when compared to esports athletes? They're about the same. Let's listen to this previous conversation on Checkpoint XP Radio.
You know, as esports continues to evolve, a lot of these athletes, just like traditional athletes, are going to end up becoming celebrities. But we, you know, there's got to be an it factor there, right? Welcome back to Checkpoint XP, your home for esports and gaming. I want to thank everyone listening on WXSM Tri-Cities, Tennessee, as well as ESPN Phoenix 620. You've been asking for it, and it's finally here. Checkpoint XP merch is officially available. We've got shirts, hats, hoodies, and mugs for Checkpoint XP, Low Team Damage, The Other Identity, and more coming soon. Plus, we've got a brand new shirt and hoodie that's only available for a limited time this fall and holiday season. Make sure you check it out over at checkpointxp.com/shop. If I asked you who the Dennis Rodman of esports is right now, would you be able to answer?
No. Well, that's a great question.
I mean, there really isn't one. And, you know, we've seen traditional athletes kind of evolve their own personal brands into what makes a celebrity. I mean, it's pretty obvious that Dennis Rodman, for his time, was a celebrity.
Oh, yeah.
There's so many basketball players, athletes, football players.
Yeah,
they're all celebrities. TMZ follows these guys as equally as they would, Jennifer Lopez,
right,
or Puff Daddy, you know? Like, I have to wonder, what is it going to take for an esports athlete, or indeed even a streamer, because they seem to be climbing that ladder far, far quicker, to sort of reach the echelon of being reported on by TMZ?
Well,
weird echelon, I know.
It is a very weird echelon, but I think this is a really interesting question, because I think if esports wants to be truly mainstream, it has to think about this question in and of itself, right? So David Stern, a guy who was the commissioner in the NBA in the 90s, he leaned all the way into this, you know,
sure,
late 80s, early 90s. When
saw
Magic and Bird starting to go up against each other, they leaned into this. Those games got primetime slots. Those teams got primetime slots. People wanted to see those two guys. And I think when it comes to esports, I think before we even talk about the individual, I think every esport has to ask, who are our top five superstars?
Yeah. So, A, you need the organization behind
you. The organization has to be behind you. Not just your team.
Sure.
The league.
The league
has to say, who's the top stars? And then start thinking about top billing.
LCS needs to take Doublelift and put him in more positions to talk crap on people.
No, not even just talk crap, but just to highlight the team, highlight the stuff. That's what I'm talking about, because those conditions make it easier for people to want to go and watch.
Do you think the lack of something like this right now in esports is evidence that that personality type doesn't exist yet? Or have leagues not really realized the star power that some of these guys are leveraging?
I think it's that one, because you can grow into a role.
Okay.
We look at a lot of these kids, and a lot of them are shy, you know, maybe they're introverts, that they don't get it. That's something you learn. Obviously, some people can be, you know, have the gift of gab and get it. But I've also seen people who go from being shy to loving being in the spotlight. So it's something that can be taught.
That's number one. And number two, I reject this whole notion that because you're an esports star, you're an introvert.
No, of course not.
There's plenty of introverts who play basketball.
Yeah.
Like Duncan's a renowned introvert, and yet they throw the mic in his face every game. Why? Because he's Tim Duncan. He's the best player on that team.
I get it. I get it. But if you just go and watch, like, pull up a dozen player interviews, like, yeah, just, you know, smattered across different leagues, different games, and maybe one out of the dozen that you pull up is going to be worth watching. That is not the same in other traditional sports. There is, now granted, there is more media training that traditional, yes, athletes end up getting, and I do think that that needs to be a big part of what esports organizations are doing for the people that are under their umbrellas. However, there is a big difference between, you know, an interview with Tim Duncan and an interview with Team OG, right? Like, there's going to be three kids out of there that are just not, they don't want to be there, right? And no amount of media training is going to, you know, is going to allow them to overcome that.
Well, but I think then at that point, the esport in question has to really think about, you know, maybe not necessarily Dota 2, because it's all already as huge as anything else, but, you know, something like maybe Call of Duty League, right, as it continues to get off the ground and go to franchising, geolocation, I think it behooves them to think about who are the players that can best represent our team and
because
our brand.
Because you can tell who they are. Dogman, Jake, like, there, yeah, are people that when they're on camera, you can tell they don't need training. So if you then invest in them, it's going to pay back.
It's Checkpoint XP, your home for esports and gaming. We're currently talking about what elements someone needs to be, you know, like, personality-wise, what kind of elements they need to bring to the table to transcend being just an esports competitor and become a true celebrity. And I think that you see a lot of these qualities more in streamers than you do in team members and actual esports athletes.
Well, and I think because a streamer's mentality is I'm here to entertain. I'm an entertainer first. Sure. And an esports professional is I'm here to win games. But I think the difference in professional sports, especially in the NBA, the NFL, is their whole thing is, yeah, I'm a pro athlete and I go out there and perform the best of my ability, but I'm also an entertainer too. And that's why sports entertainment, that's sure, why the whole thing sort of fits together. And so I think there has to be a player that comes in and begins to embody that, that understands that sort of calculus.
So someone's got to come in and lay down the blueprint.
Somebody has to be the Joe Namath, yeah, of, okay, esports.
What about, because we've seen it a little bit, but not a whole lot. What about sponsorships for specific players? You know, like we know Uzi had a deal with Nike and whatnot, yeah, right? But when they actually start coming in and saying, hey, we want to put you on TVs, we want to put you, you know, in commercials, mm-hmm, and whatnot, because, you know, what you just talked about with esports players, we just win games, that's it. There's no incentive for us to go out there and make personalities out of ourselves. But when millions of dollars are on the line, you're going to want to start making yourself known.
No, but I do think that you do see that in very small areas. You know, you got Double Lift's great Honda commercial that's out there right now where he's, sure, taking the trash out.
They're
right?
Starting.
They're,
yep,
it's starting to happen. And you're starting to see investment and coalescence happen around these big, vibrant stars that have a personality, yeah, when you talk to,
well,
them.
And I see also in the chat, like, Omega Weltall talking about the FGC and stuff. And I think, obviously, that's the easiest one-to-one when we're talking about big personalities. But that's because the FGC lends itself a lot to, like, boxing and stuff, where half the battle is before you even sit down to...
Half the entertainment.
Yeah, half the entertainment is before you even sit down and cut the game on. Everybody knows this stuff. But we're talking about, like, team-based esports. Like, who will rise above in the team-based esports ecosystem? I think, of course, somebody like Double Lift is a good example, but also at the same time, I feel like there has to be somebody that we can follow from the beginning. And that's where I think the next sort of calculus is.
An evolution. You need to see an evolution where somebody has that shell, they break out of that shell, and then they become the superstar that they were born to be. That's a narrative that people, yes, will be able to really get around. But we want to hear from you. What do you think it's going to take for an esports athlete to transcend, to become, and not just an esports celebrity, but a true celebrity? Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram.
Hey, this is Joe with the Checkpoint XP Save the Date calendar, letting you know about the latest esports competitions to look forward to in the coming weeks. The major esports leagues are currently on break, but they'll be back in early 2020. Call of Duty League is set to debut on January 24th, while the Overwatch League returns on February the 8th. As we get into the new year, Dota 2 will welcome us back off the holiday break with DreamHack League Season 13 running from January 18th through the 26th. And Battle Royales are actually on an extended holiday break. They'll be returning to action with DreamHack Anaheim that starts in mid-February. That's it for the Checkpoint XP Save the Date calendar. And remember, for all the latest in the world of esports, check out our website. That's over at CheckpointXP.com.
Don't go AFK on us.
Follow us online at CheckpointXP.com.
Dude, Checkpoint XP, baby.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
This is Checkpoint XP,
esports and gaming radio.
CheckpointXP.com.
A happy holiday season to you. Welcome back to Checkpoint XP Radio, your home for esports and gaming news. My name is Weirdbeard. Nate, Norris, and Robbie are all off enjoying their vacation, and a live show will be back in the beginning of next year, 2020. Can you believe it? Right around the corner, in fact. If you are out celebrating and doing something fun, we want to know. Hit us up on social media at Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and at Checkpoint underscore XP on Instagram. Still ahead, VR and MMOs. What's it all about? Find out next. But right now, we're going to join a previous conversation of what the best games of the 21st century are, right here on Checkpoint XP Radio.
Checkpoint XP Daily is now a part of the BPod Network at BPodStudios.com. For more great listening options like Inside the Ropes, a weekly look inside wrestling in the WWE, and Talkin' Rock with Meltdown, an interview and music news podcast, head on over to BPodStudios.com. The place to be for podcast discovery. The Guardian has put out a list of the top 50 games of the 21st century. I will remind you, the 21st century started in the year 2000.
That's correct.
So if you're looking for, you know, some earlier generation games on this list, they're going to be tough to find. That means actually a lot of the classics
that
are out there,
tried to guess,
have kind of been taken out from under us. So
this is not my game plan.
Let's talk the top 50 games of the 21st century.
Yep, so I'm going to go ahead and start us off by saying, too, that I don't think this is a terrible list. I think this
really?
I mean, there's things I disagree with. Of course, there's 50 games on here. But,
I mean, yeah, it's a big list. But overall.
Overall, I'm actually fairly pleased with this list. So
okay.
You guys go ahead and you can call them out.
Oh, so we're guessing.
You guys all are
going to try. So let's just go around.
Hang on. But usually at the end of a game like this, we will go through each of the entries to see what was where. I don't think we're going to have time to go through 50.
No.
So
I'll give you the top 10.
Okay, that's fair.
All right.
So start
January 1st, 2001. I was
that's
born.
Right.
I'm about 18, 19 right now. I grew up with Fortnite's too recent, but I'll start with Fortnite.
Okay.
Fortnite on there?
Fortnite is number 20 on this list.
Okay.
Coming out in 2001.
You got one.
Yep, that is
all right. I will say Call of Duty.
Low-hanging fruit.
Call of Duty Modern Warfare.
Call of Duty.
More low-hanging fruit.
Call of Duty Modern Warfare is number 32 on this list.
Lower than I thought.
It does appear on the list.
What about, are there multiple entries per series?
There might be, but
okay,
I don't see any.
It's a list of 50, so there very well might be.
But I don't see tons of them.
How about Halo Combat Evolved?
Oh, I believe I saw that one down in the top 10.
Ooh, that was
Halo Combat Evolved in 2001, and that comes in at number 7.
Very good.
Our first top 10.
So far striking at the top of the list. All right, who else is going to break into that top 10?
The Fortnite before Fortnite, Minecraft.
Fair enough. All right, okay.
Minecraft does appear on this list, coming out in 2009. Minecraft is number 1.
Wow.
It is
number one on this list. I wouldn't put it there, but I don't know that I can argue
that with it.
What I said, I wouldn't put it there, but I have a hard time arguing with that.
Mighty fair point.
Well, I literally can't top that.
No, you cannot.
All right, League of Legends.
League of Legends.
Yeah, that's probably fair. Yep. That's probably fair. What?
Did not make this list.
Really?
Only the most widespread esports.
Hold on. What about, this is like an A or a B tier League of Legends. Dota, because Dota technically inspired League of Legends.
Fair point. Fair point.
Also to not on this list.
To some people, that's those are fighting words.
Well, it's
the fact that MOBAs have been categorically left off of this list
is trash.
Is shocking.
I'll go ahead and give you that spoiler now. Smite and Heroes of the Storm also did not make
the list. Is trash.
Okay, listen.
So yes, the MOBA category is horrifically underrepresented.
Then in that case, for mine, I will go Fortnite before Fortnite and go PlayerUnknown's Battleground.
PUBG.
PUBG. He's got a big list.
I gotta look at. No, it is not.
Oh! Wow. No, it is
not. All right. Okay. I'm going to take one from the chat. The Hurricane here over at twitch.tv/checkpointxp. World of Warcraft.
Oh,
as
you know that's
obviously.
On there.
Yeah, come on.
World of Warcraft coming in at number 13 on this
lower
list.
Lower than I expected.
Yeah.
Lower than I expected.
That kind of covers your MMO base right there, yep. Right? Like, yep. I don't think that you need to name any other MMOs. There's none that
matter.
Yeah. So, and talking about like things like League of Legends and whatnot, I'm just a cursory glance of this list would lead me to believe that all of these games you could probably buy a box copy.
That's what I'm thinking.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, right. Maybe that's why it was not in. Well, but then Fortnite wouldn't have been on there.
Yeah,
either.
But Fortnite's cultural
or Minecraft for
that's
that. Both,
those
fair.
Are cultural.
We've only got two in the top 10.
Listen, it's my turn. Shut up.
No, technically, we got three because we just got 10.
Okay. No, you just got 13.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. 13, I thought World of Warcraft.
Anyway,
was 10.
Speaking of 10, Final Fantasy 10.
I'm pretty sure that was me in 1999.
It might have been. It was pretty close, actually.
It is not on here.
I think that
was it.
That was 1999, my friend.
And I'll go ahead and tell you right now, there is not a Final Fantasy game.
Oh no, I'm wrong. That was 2001.
That's
so,
what I was saying.
Because okay.
8 was 9999.
Turn of the century. Then.
Yep. Yeah, you're right.
There is not a Final Fantasy game on here. I'll let you know.
Wow.
You know what? Influential in the 21st century, there shouldn't be.
What tension?
Fighting words. That's fighting words. No, but I'll agree with that sentiment. I will pick a role playing game that should be influential in the 21st century because Dark Souls seems to wipe its fingerprints on everything.
Yeah, there you go.
Dark Souls coming out in 2011 ranks number 3.
Boom!
Nice. Wow!
Nice. Boom!
Nice.
That's a good one.
All right, I'm going to go for another low hanging one. Let's go with. A Zelda game, Breath of the Wild.
Zelda Breath of the Wild.
Really?
Coming out 2017, ranks number 2 on this list.
Oh!
Wow. Number 2.
I don't know that I'd put it that high.
Okay. Overwatch.
Oh, I know I saw it. I just got to get the number. Overwatch coming in.
We need at least half the top 10, guys.
Overwatch comes in at number 41 on this
41?
List. 41? 2016.
Wow.
Significantly lower than I would have thought.
Okay. Hurricane just said it in the chat, but my mind went here as soon as, Robbie, your suggestion was put out there. Got to go with Skyrim. Come on. Elder Scrolls.
Yeah,
Elder Scrolls. I mean, if you're ignoring Final Fantasy, you got to have that representation somewhere else. Going Skyrim.
Releasing in 2011 and coming in at number 11, The Elder Scrolls 5. Skyrim.
Boom!
Very nice.
Okay, we still need top fives. Man, I'm starting to draw blanks now.
I'm trying to think of what I played in high school.
You already said a Call of Duty.
I did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We already got Halo.
Yeah.
Sure.
Some big ones still missing here.
There's got to be. There's huge ones.
Mario Odyssey.
Odyssey. Maybe Sunshine, but not Odyssey.
I'm trying to think.
I don't think so.
I got one.
Super Mario Odyssey coming in at number 14 on this list. Yeah.
Okay. All right. All right. Pleasantly surprised.
Resident Evil 4.
Oh, yeah. That's on here. Resident Evil 4 is coming in at number 15 on this list.
All right. See, Hurricane is on the same train of thought that I am.
Stop giving him answers,
He's
Hurricane.
Not giving me answers. I was going to say this even before. He actually said Grand Theft Auto 5. I'm actually going to say Grand Theft Auto 4. Because I don't know when 3 came out.
2001.
That's fair.
Was it?
Grand Theft Auto 4 is not on here. Grand Theft Auto 5 is number 6 on this list.
Okay. Still making money.
Okay.
What about 3?
Three I don't see on here.
Yeah, no.
That's ridiculous.
I feel like
this is less about most influential games and just games that were really popular.
Grand Theft Auto 4 is also on the list. Number 19.
Good. Poppycock! Four and five are on there, not 3. Absurd.
Again,
I'll take it.
Go ahead.
I don't think this is
that's ridiculous.
Influential.
Go ahead.
Is just popular.
Just
and I'm
ahead.
Gonna go with The Witcher 3.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh, no, okay.
The Witcher 3 Wild Hunt, number 5 on this
list. All right, there we go. I think we've gotten all of the top 5. Are we just missing number 2?
5.
I think we're just missing number 2 out of the top 5.
You're just missing number 4.
Oh, number 4. Oh, excuse me. Okay, I'm trying.
We are running out of time. Do you want me to give you the top 10?
Yeah, let's go ahead and get that top 10.
All right, at number 10 on this list, we have Bloodborne, 2015.
I should have said Bloodborne.
Number 9, BioShock, 2007.
Yep, that makes sense.
Oh, I'm going to throw one more in there because it is in the new century. Half-Life 2.
Half-Life 2, number 4 on this list.
Okay, all right.
Number 8, Portal 2. Number 7, Halo Combat Evolved. Number 6, Grand Theft Auto 5. Number 5, The Witcher 3. Number 4, Half-Life 2. Number 3, Dark Souls. Number 2, Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild. And Minecraft gets the number 1 slot.
All right, well, listen, we want to hear from you. How many entries on this list were you able to guess? And by the way, if you want a link to this, we'll have it over at our website, checkpointxp.com.
This is Checkpoint XP. Check out the latest esports and gaming news and opinions at checkpointxp.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Ready, set, go!
Welcome into Checkpoint XP Esports and Gaming Radio. A complete look at all things esports and gaming. A production of Beasley Esports XP.
Hey, welcome back to Checkpoint XP Radio, your home for esports and gaming news. My name is Weird Beard, helping you get through the holidays with a little bit of the best of Checkpoint XP Radio for 2019. Nate, Norris, and Robbie are off on vacation. They will be back in the new year, but until then, get your entire fill of everything Checkpoint XP related on our website at checkpointxp.com. Now, the moment has come for VR and MMOs to be comfy little bed partners. How and why? The team tells you on this best of Checkpoint XP Radio.
Listen, I've got a conversation that has, I just can't get this out of my head. Could VR be the actual savior for MMOs?
For the multiplayer online game.
That's right. So, real quick, all right, for the uninitiated, MMORPGs, they stand for Massively Multiplayer Online Role-Playing Games, the largest notable in their World of Warcraft.
Yeah.
So the most obvious point of comparison.
Yeah.
And for those who don't know, World of Warcraft is not the powerhouse that it once was. It's still huge.
Correct.
But not like it once was. And it's kind of the only example of a real powerhouse game that still remains.
I would say for the better part of 10 years... MMOs were one of the most popular game genres.
I'd say so from about, 04 to 14?
I would say that's probably accurate. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So, and then for those that are really, really uninitiated, VR stands for virtual reality.
Yeah. Which, in and of itself, still has yet to take off. So are you thinking that if the whole can VR save MMOs, I think it has to be a mutually beneficial arrangement.
Well, here's the first thing, right? Here's the first supposition here is that MMOs in their current state are fundamentally unsustainable.
I would agree with that. Yeah,
I'd agree. Sure.
They are fundamentally unsustainable as a economic engine for your company. I just don't think that they have the same sort of appeal that they did, you know, five years ago.
There's too many free-to-play options out there today for you to be able to sustain an MMO model for more than maybe two to exist.
So now you want to throw on another $200, $300 investment to be able to play?
Well, because here's the thing. MMOs, by definition, are games that are absolutely massive. They take place in really large worlds. They have a lot of lore. They have a lot of things to be able to go and see and consume.
Yep.
And honestly, in my opinion, one of the few genres of games that actually do capture the sense of scale, grandeur, and wonderment.
And adventuring.
And adventuring that films, in a certain sense, do. I think by adding the layer of VR, you create a new experience that previously video games have not necessarily been able to do. So I think for me, the question is not, can VR save the MMO? I think MMOs could save VR.
Yeah, it's a little bit of the chicken or the egg kind of question, yeah. Right? I don't think that's either here or there, but you did say something really important, and that's the scale, the yeah. massive part of the MMO acronym is really important, because I feel like single-player games have caught up to the large world feel that MMOs used to be able to deliver.
I'll agree with
and
that.
And one of the only ways that you can kind of fully replicate that sense of scale, I believe, would be through VR. There's a second component that I also think is really critical to VRs and MMOs, and why I think they would create such a beautiful marriage, is that at one point in time, online games were focused mostly in a social capacity.
Yes.
You didn't have tools like party finders or, you know, matchmaking services.
Or instance right. dungeons.
Correct. You had none of that. So you had to use your ability to socialize to be able to get anything done in these games that you wanted to play. And I think through VR, the way that it is also inherently social is another way to kind of bring that aspect back without having to turn back any of the advances made in modern MMOs.
And I think that's a really interesting way to look at it, and a really good point. But I want to also echo the very thing that Robbie has brought up. MMOs are incredibly expensive to develop and maintain.
Absolutely.
For companies. And you already have a consumer base now in Gen Z that is very used to drop-in, drop-out style games, free-to-play games, and microtransactions. It's clearly been shown that that is how the next generation wants to consume their games.
Sure.
And even the few that do take part in MMOs, they're playing games that are very, 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 acquiescent to that style of gaming. And Robbie brought up something that's very important, is that VR is not affordable right now. Even to this day, it is not affordable. So you're going to take the most expensive genre of game to make and pair it with the most expensive peripheral to consume in gaming, and pair them and hopefully make something that people will want to buy.
But Norris,
I think that's really difficult to try to sell to people.
Norris, what is currently the most popular feature of any VR?
I don't know. I don't have any VR.
VR chat.
Oh, I was about to say VR porn, but that's okay.
Well, when that becomes a real thing that we see it will be the most popular feature.
No, that's already a real thing.
Oh.
And it's definitely.
Well, give it some time to develop. It's going to be the most popular
feature.
No, give
it some time to be cheap.
My point is that the underlying interest that I think drives interest in an MMO is sort of the same thing that people are interested in exploring about VR.
Mm-hmm.
I think the novelty of exploring a virtual world that is also single player wears off very, very quickly.
Yes.
So how do you get exposure and use for the system to be longer? I think that if you have a multiplayer component, if you are bringing people together, suddenly that's a much more interesting hook to get people invested emotionally in using the platform.
Yeah. Well, I think it also answers a question about development with MMOs that we've been trying to see answered for a long time. One of the bigger issues is how much time it takes to develop and create all the little interactions with the world that you need to make the world feel alive.
Sure.
But if you are now walking down a street, right? A busy street, and you're hearing conversations from people who are just sitting there chatting, you're creating that a live world without ever having to actually programming anything. Mm-hmm. The players themselves are
great.
The
users are doing that.
The other half of that, of course, is that once the servers slow down a little bit, it's going to feel like a ghost town in a hurry.
Yeah.
But I feel like you're right, Nate. I feel like it's the social element of MMOs that made them so popular for the better part of a decade, and it's the social aspect of VR that is going to keep it alive.
But at the same time, I still feel like that's a massive thing to ask of a player base. And we already saw it when it comes to certain games that are dependent on certain peripherals in order to be able to function. I'm thinking of games like, I don't know, like Steel Battalion or even like Seaman or something like that, where you had to have all these
Seaman.
What a call from the 90s.
But really? You can't go with Let's Go Pikachu or anything like that?
But a game that you had to have a peripheral to fundamentally enjoy it are games that usually don't do as well as other ones, even in the same genre.
You cannot look at VR as a peripheral.
That's not what it is right now.
No, it's a platform.
Yeah, well, that's what
it is. Different. It is you invest in a VR like you invest in a PlayStation 4.
Okay, at that point, then, if that's the way you want to look at it, as the person who owns a VR headset right now, it is still a peripheral. So when it starts to come with consoles,
you bought the cheapest one. Nobody told you to do that.
But the point is,
okay. But even if you had an Oculus, Oculus is basically a peripheral.
No, because
is the MMO VR exclusive. You have to have VR to play the MMO.
Yes.
Okay, in that case, I think it's going to be hard to take off. Because again, as me and Norse have pointed out, VR is not that widely accepted right now. That is a deep cost just for the price of entry, just to try it out.
I think what you're going to need to see is a platform like the HTC Vive or the Oculus. One of those two is going to have to start establishing its own library of games that are kind of exclusive to it.
I agree.
Or what will more likely end up being is VR will be the platform, and then the Vive can access it or the Oculus can access it.
But those platforms right now haven't shown us from a software standpoint that they can handle something like this on this type of scale. And when we're talking about the level of content that Nate will want, in a perfect world, do I think it could work? Of course. Would I want it to work? Of course. That sounds like a great idea. But as it stands right now, the software developers for VR have not gotten the platform to that level.
See,
yet.
But Norris, you're presupposing that it has to be an original game that's developed and it couldn't be a port. You could take something like Fallout 76, easily port it to VR and prove the concept right then and there. Mm-hmm. And we know that they can do it because Fallout 4 got ported to VR very easily.
Yeah, well, and so did Skyrim. But yet, how many people went out and bought the VR version of Skyrim?
Well, because
anyone who had a VR headset.
Yes, because it was the only good game to play on the VR headset.
But the point is that those games are just games that you're now experiencing in VR. That was something like an MMO could have an added benefit to being in VR that wouldn't be there just playing it on your console.
Not just that, but as a diehard MMO player for the better part of 15 years, this would be something to make me pick up the hardware.
Yeah.
Hands down. We want to hear from you. Would this make you want to invest in VR headwear? Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram.
Still ahead on Checkpoint XP Radio, more to come with me, your temporary fill-in host, Weird Beard, hanging out with you while we go back through the best of the best of the best for Checkpoint XP Radio for the entire year of 2019. Don't fret, though. More ahead still, including how are next-gen consoles going to be innovating? Plus, can you spot the fake? Maybe. Maybe not. We'll see how Nate, Norris, and Robbie do as they play a game all ahead on Checkpoint XP Radio, your home for esports and gaming news.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
This is Checkpoint XP. Sports and Gaming Radio. CheckpointXP.com.
Hey, welcome back. It's Weird Beard hanging out with you on Checkpoint XP Radio on this best of series for 2019. We're taking a trip down memory lane in order to revisit some of our favorite conversations so far from this year with our hosts Nate Norris and Robbie Landis. We are right on the cusp of the next generation of gaming consoles. How will they innovate? Our hosts discuss on this best of Checkpoint Radio.
With every new generation of console, of inevitably, there is a big push in hardware technology. And, you know, we're right on the cusp of a new generation of consoles. So it's got me thinking, like, what are some of the innovations you'd like to see in the next generation of video game consoles?
Yeah, and, you know, this is a really difficult question because it's so hard to picture where things can go from here. Like, I feel like, think about where gaming started for us, right? Yeah. Like, we were coming out of the NES era,
sure,
into the Super Nintendo era.
And there was a lot of room for growth, right?
You could imagine an awful lot. And now as we get close to photorealistic graphics, as we get close to VR, you know, really taking off, it's getting significantly more difficult to imagine the innovations that could be made.
It's not a hard question for me to answer, but it's also not anything new. Because we technically have it right now. VR is a thing. But it's at the sort of awkward in-between where it's still too expensive to where people aren't widely using it.
It's cost prohibitive.
And as a result, people aren't developing it for it. So for me, that's where it needs to be. We need to get something that's way more consumer friendly so that more people start developing things that are inherently VR. I don't just want last year's releases in VR that I've already played. I want something that's only VR, that's bespoke to it, because that's going to be way better than anything else that's available right now.
So let me ask you then, because every time we've seen VR kind of come and go over the years, and there's been multiple times that we've seen VR. We saw it in the 90s. We saw it another attempt in the 2000s. Every time we see it, people, they're interested for a minute and then go, eh, whatever.
It's not that. Well, mostly because the technology wasn't there yet.
Yeah. Do you believe that the technology, even though it may still be cost-prohibitive, that the technology is there now that VR, if they could get the price to a reasonable point and get some development for it, VR would be here to stay?
Yes, I do. And if they were to get it to that point, I think from there the growth would be exponential because now people are investing in it, people are developing for it, and the technology would just continue to take off.
No, I agree. It's the same thing you saw like with smartphones, right? There were people.
Good comparison.
You had people who had smartphones, you know, all the way dating back to like 98, 99 when like BlackBerries and Palm.
Yes, Palm Pilots. Yes, of course.
Okay,
but when the phone companies started subsidizing the phones to get you hooked on the plans,
right,
and everybody got smartphones, there was no way you could go back after that.
But actually, I mean, there was a much bigger consumer phenomenon that happened, which was the iPhone. Let's be honest. The adoption of smartphone technology owes itself, yes, the history of it owes to BlackBerry and Palm Pilot, but no one was truly sold from like a base consumer level until they saw, oh, wait a minute, I can watch movies on my phone. I can, you know, like it now is a portable screen. BlackBerries and Palms didn't have that.
No, they didn't. And I won't disagree with you there on the fact of how innovative that, you know, the iPhone was. But I think the foundation was laid by that. And why the iPhone was able to be as successful as it was, because the conditions were already met.
Here's the thing. We don't have an iPhone comparison yet in VR. Right? Like, it's still very much early adoption, even though the technology has been being developed and available in some commercial sense for the better part of almost two decades.
Well, the thing with VR too, though, is that like when we talked about killer apps and peripherals and big games, think about how many of them were bundled with the system at a reduced cost. And I think that's incredibly important when we're talking about if VR is ever going to catch on, is that there has to be some sort of VR bundle that would only cost maybe $50 more than the base.
That'd be a good
start. The base thing.
But going back to Robbie's point, there's got to be something that just makes the whole platform catch fire. There's got to be some kind of software phenomenon that people have so much, you know, fear of missing out that they run out and buy the hardware.
What
and I'm going to tell you that VR chat is not getting that done.
No, it's not. Well, let me ask you this, though, because we know that, don't know for sure, but it's a very, very good chance that Elder Scrolls 6 is launching on the PlayStation 5, right?
Yeah.
Launches on the PlayStation 5 with VR compatibility.
With a VR compatibility.
Ooh. Out the gate. Not a year later.
Right.
Not 2 years
Day
later.
Day one.
Out the gate.
Nope.
No, I don't think
that
does
doesn't
it.
Get it done. And here's why. It's got to be VR only. Like, it's got to be exclusive.
It's got to be made for VR.
Exactly.
The experience has to be inextricably tied to VR. You can't do it without VR. I think it would be incredibly difficult to do a game that's built to be played in a more traditional way and then make it for VR and make that game satisfying.
You're listening to Checkpoint XP Esports and Gaming Radio. We're currently talking about what we'd like to see in terms of the next gen. And here's the thing. We've gotten a little bit caught up on technology that is already commercially available, widely available, and what we'd like to see out of it. But I'd like to actually kind of future cast a little bit more, read the tea leaves a little bit more, because there are other technologies out there like Microsoft's HoloLens that are doing some truly innovative things that some of these systems might want to think about looking at.
Yeah, I feel like you might be onto something with the concept of not just VR, but AR as well.
Yes.
We heard earlier this year that there was a possible patent out for the PS5 that would basically make the screen kind of 3D without need of having the glasses. Basically, the PlayStation 5 would be able to do kind of what the 3DS did.
Yeah, so the 3DS.
Yeah, similar concept, but, you know, bigger and better. I feel like that's actually going a step too short of what you actually want to do. What you actually want to do is be able to kind of project out into the room. Well, don't you want to make the living room or wherever like you're playing battlegrounds?
A perfect example is like what we have when you see like Worlds or the International for Dota 2 or something.
Oh, please don't
the
tell me.
Performances.
Oh, God. Yeah, holograms, really?
Holograms.
Holograms.
Holo chess.
Hologram. Dude, oh my God. If I could play Teamfight Tactics with the actual pieces out in real life, that would be so sweet.
Well, see, now this is the sort of future casting that I was talking about, because you're right. That would be amazing.
Yeah, and you know what? You don't need an interface. You could literally just put your finger near the piece and make it move or do whatever.
I think that's even better than Star Wars' Holochest. Star Wars got nothing on Teamfight Tactics.
It's true. It's true, though,
I think, though, you know, every time we've had a major generation gap that's been kind of meaningful, it has been something to do with the viewing experience. Think about the PlayStation 2 and its ability to run DVD. That basically moved the platform forward. Again, we saw it with Blu-ray on the PS3, which was less successful, but not
so much.
It helped Blu-ray being the standard, though.
It did.
Yes, it did a little bit, but more than that, it was the streaming apps that you started to see pop up on the PlayStation 3 and the Xbox 360, and that was a huge buying factor, at least for me, when I ended up purchasing one of those systems.
So with that in mind, I think we should look at how will PlayStation 5 and how will Xbox Scarlett, you know, how will those impact the viewing experience? And I think as we're talking about things like AR and having holograms and whatnot, you know, project me into a stadium. Put me in, make my living room the stadium.
Well, I mean, we do have some version of that with, you know, say the Netflix app that runs
in a log
on
cabin
that runs on PSVR,
yeah,
right. So, you know, PlayStation has gotten their own VR goggles and it runs fine on that, and yeah, it seats you in like a little log cabin or like a movie theater so that you can look at the screen or you can look around at I don't know what else. But I do
a dark log cabin,
like, I do think that there is an opportunity there not only to provide an interesting viewing experience but also to connect people, because all of these devices are inherently connected. And, you know, we saw a really interesting piece of technology out at TwitchCon called Wormhole that might actually be really kind of cool for something like this. But, you know, that kind of technology integration would also be something that I would love to see on future consoles. Things that not only enhance the viewing experience, but bring a viewing experience to a collective viewing experience without having to, like, navigate tons of rights issues and stuff like that. Like, that part should be figured out for the end user.
You know what's a technology that I always wanted was the fact that I own a bunch of discs from older gens. I would love a way to put that disc into that machine and it read it and just give me the digital copy, because I already bought the game. So now, here it is. I've given you the money for this game already. Let me have that digital copy.
Sorry, that's never going to happen as long as they're still, you know, as long as people are willing to go to the PlayStation Store and pay $9.99 for PlayStation 1 games digitally, never going
to
happen.
Oh, I know. I'm just saying it would be a wonderful idea to have. They let me burn CDs, copies of CDs and stuff, but I guess they learned their lesson.
Sony learned their lesson back at the PlayStation 3 when they made that one version of the PlayStation 3 backwards compatible, and then they were like, oh, we can never do this again.
This just
made too much sense.
A higher up there was like, wait, you let them do what? Absolutely not. Scrap that on all future models.
Those PlayStation 3s go for a mint now, don't they?
Yeah, they do. It's hard to find them.
It's very tough.
Because that's what I had, an 80 gig FAT.
Yeah, well, to be fair, they went for a mint back then. Weren't they like $600?
$600.
Yeah. That was insane.
But, I mean, there's so much, you know, cool technology that's being developed, and to have that kind of stuff integrated with video game platforms, as you had pointed out, for Blu-ray and DVD technology, it was absolutely critical in the adoption of both of those platforms. But listen, we want to hear from you. What do you want to see out of the next-gen consoles? Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram.
You're listening to Checkpoint XP Radio Best of 2019 show. For more information about the latest in esports and gaming news, head to our website, checkpointxp.com, where you can also find a podcast to subscribe to never miss another moment of Checkpoint XP Radio. You can find Checkpoint XP on any platform that you search for and find your podcast on. Still ahead, can you spot the fake? Between Nate Norris and Robbie, somebody has to be able to. That's ahead next. Next on Checkpoint XP Radio.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio. CheckpointXP.com.
Hey, welcome back to Checkpoint XP Radio. It's Weirdbeard hanging out with you on the best of 2019 for Checkpoint XP Radio. Another huge congratulations goes out to Omar Soto, a listener who just won a Respawn gaming chair. Yes, a brand new gaming chair, and right before the Christmas holidays. How did he win? All he did was voted and submitted into a contest on our website. And if you want to win free stuff, we always have awesome things happening on our website. Go check them out right now. CheckpointXP.com. Let's check out this conversation from earlier this year and see whether or not you too can spot the fake.
Can you spot the fake headline? Welcome back to Checkpoint XP, your home for esports and gaming. I want to thank everyone listening on Fox Sports WBSM 1340 AM in Florence, Alabama, and News Talk WGAC 580 and 95.1 in Augusta, Georgia. Make sure you're following us on our officially partnered Twitch channel over at twitch.tv/checkpointxp. We've got a ton of new emotes, including each of our beautiful faces, as well as now one, but two cat emotes. Tali and Fritz are actual cats, are now Twitch emotes, and there's only one place to get them. It's over at twitch.tv/checkpointxp. Joe likes to play a game called Spot the Fake. He gives us two things. One of them is real, one of them is not.
Yep.
And I understand that today's game has a little twist.
Yeah, so I'm going to give you guys two headlines. One of them will be real, one of them will be fake, and one of them will come from traditional sports, and one of them will come from esports or gaming.
Ooh.
Yes. So
you guys are either going to be real easy or really hard.
Yeah, I'm really curious to see how this one goes. Yeah. So, all right. Here's your first set of headlines.
All right.
Man sets new record for running beer mile in just over 5 minutes.
What is a beer mile?
So, beer mile, you know how when you run the track, you'd have to run it four times?
Okay.
Yes. You chug a beer, run a lap, chug a beer, run a lap.
Oh, God.
And then you run a mile.
So you throw up at the end of it for sure.
All right. The other one. Gamer finishes 7 beers during PUBG match and wins. Sets record.
Okay. So first of all, that second one, I feel like you could do more than 7.
What's the record?
He said it was 7.
Oh, so the record is number of beers and being
the
able
first
to
one's
win.
The real
still
one.
Winning nope, a match.
The first okay. one's real. The yeah. second one's fake.
Because the first one, that's something that people are out there actually trying to do. I feel like if people were trying to do this second one, that would be a lot higher.
There's no way any competition would allow beers next to the stations, okay? Mm-hmm. So... Here we go. Or is this in his home?
This would be in his home.
Yeah, I'm gonna. I'm gonna
not
say
the first one still.
Yeah, I'm gonna say the second one is fake.
Okay, you guys are correct. The second one is fake. Okay.
I don't like that laugh. Don't do that.
He's laughing at his own headline.
No, I don't. I'm not laughing at my own. I promise you that. All right. Man sues MMO for being addictive and wins.
By the way, an MMO is an online game. Well,
yeah,
for
an
those
online
massively
game.
Massively multiplayer game.
If we get yelled at one more time about this, I don't know what I'm going to do.
All right.
Anyway.
New XFL will offer extreme video replay available after each play.
Okay, that one's real.
I was going to say, I know that people have tried to sue developers for addicting games before. I don't know if anyone's ever won, because that would be a pretty huge
case. Just Vince is ridiculous enough to allow extreme replay.
Yeah, so I'm going to say the gaming one is the fake.
I'm going to say the XFL one is the fake.
Nate, you are correct.
Yeah!
The XFL one is the fake.
You know what? I just wanted the XFL one to be real.
A man sued Lineage, I believe it was, and won.
Really?
I think that's what the game was. Yeah.
Wow.
That's not even addictive.
Did they go back in time to 1994 to do it?
They would have had to, I feel like.
No.
World's second largest bullfighting tournament canceled after bulls win handily.
I don't care if that is fake. That's just good writing.
Fighting game match ends in draw. Players settle it with real fight.
Damn.
Those are both really good.
I'm going to have to defer to you on this one, Norris.
You know what?
First of all, I don't think any official tournament would allow them to settle it by real
fighting.
Yeah,
I would say the bullfight.
But at the same time, if the bulls won handily, then how are they going to cancel something that already happened?
Yeah, because there you go. The second
one's
real.
This is a trick one. They're both fake.
They're not both fake. I'll tell you that.
I'm going to go with the bullfighting is fake.
Okay, Norris, what'd you say?
I said the first one is fake.
Okay,
the bullfight's fake.
All right, no, the bullfighting is real.
Okay.
They had three matadors versus six bulls, and the matadors all lost before the first two bulls were gone, so they just canceled the rest of the event.
Womp womp. You're listening to Checkpoint XP Esports and Gaming Radio. We're playing a little game that we like to call Spot the Fake. We've got some headlines, some coming from real sports, some coming from esports. We're trying to figure out which one Joe just made up.
Yep. All right. Officers were on PlayStation as cruise ship hits rocks and sinks.
Okay. I believe that
I
in my
too.
Soul.
I believe
actually.
It.
Yeah.
I believe it a lot.
Baseball pitcher demoted after falling asleep in bullpen.
That seems like that could happen too, though.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like there's no way that a pitcher falling asleep in the bullpen is not something that happens often.
It's got to be something that happens
so
all the time.
I'm going to say
it's
the second
baseball.
One. I'm going to say the second one is fake.
Yeah, I'm going to say the baseball one is fake.
I'm going to agree as well.
You are correct. That is the fake.
It was a little too vague for me as well.
Well, not just that. It's baseball and people fall asleep all the time.
Everybody falls asleep.
Yeah. All right. Fair enough. Okay. French soccer coach suspected of bribing opponents with halftime wine delivery.
They're French.
Okay.
StarCraft player banned for match fixing wins tournament under false name.
That one's true.
Really? You know that? Like, what? Did you see that headline?
No, but it just seems true. And besides,
if it was going to happen, it would have happened early on in esports during something like
that. I don't know. I just feel like a French soccer coach wouldn't bribe with wine. He would bribe with prostitutes. So there you go.
Because if there's anything more French than wine, it's prostitutes.
All right, well, I'm going to defer once again to Norris since he is the soccer expert.
Mm. Yeah, I'm going to say the Frenchie is fake.
No, that is the real one.
Wow.
French coach was suspected of bribing opponents with halftime wine delivery.
League 2 or Ligue 1?
I don't know.
You just made noises.
You just made stuff
What did
up.
You just actually say?
League 2 or League 1?
League 1 or 2, yeah.
All right. Let's see what else we got here. Okay. Violinist cheats her way onto Olympic ski team.
Okay.
Whoa. Okay. All right.
Or Asian League of Legends player mistakenly bets on opposing team, carries own team to victory.
Ooh, that seems real.
Yeah.
That seems real. Especially considering
that's
all the crazy
karma right there.
Especially
too.
The stuff that the crazy stuff that's been going on in that side of the world and league.
I'm gonna say the Olympic one's false.
Yeah, I'm gonna say that one too. That one seems real.
I'm gonna split with these guys. I'm gonna say the league one is fake.
Nate, you are correct.
Oh,
one is the one I made up. Yep. No.
Violinist cheated her way onto a team.
Okay, what is that?
A violinist from cheated her way onto the Thai. I think it was the Thailand ski team.
Oh well, no wonder. She walked up with some skis, and they were just like, "You're on the team."
She faked her times, took dead last, and finished like a minute behind first place or something like that.
But you know what? She can play a mean violin.
That's true. All right, one more.
Yeah, real quick.
Former NBA player busted for possessing heroin and a grenade launcher.
Okay.
Professional Madden player spikes controller after touchdown pass breaks foot.
I'm gonna go with the grenade launcher being fake.
Oh, you know what? Super specific.
Sports is wild. I'm gonna say that's real. The second one's fake. Yep.
The first one is real. The NBA player did have the grenade launcher.
Oh, man. That's pretty amazing. All right. Well, that's all the time that we have for that. But listen, how many were you able to guess? Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram.
Hey, this is Joe with the Checkpoint XP Save the Date calendar, letting you know about the latest esports competitions to look forward to in the coming weeks. The major esports leagues are currently on break, but they'll be back in early 2020. Call of Duty League is set to debut on January 24th, while the Overwatch League returns on February the 8th. As we get into the new year, Dota 2 will welcome us back off the holiday break with DreamHack League Season 13 running from January 18th through the 26th. And Battle Royales are actually on an extended holiday break. They'll be returning to action with DreamHack Anaheim that starts in mid-February. That's it for the Checkpoint XP Save the Date calendar. And remember, for all the latest in the world of esports, check out our website. That's over at CheckpointXP.com.
Don't go AFK on us.
Follow us online at CheckpointXP.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Ready, set, go!
Welcome into Checkpoint XP Esports and Gaming Radio. A complete look at all things esports and gaming. A production of Beasley Esports XP.
The final segment of Checkpoint XP Radio for 2019. Hey, it's Weirdbeard. Thanks for hanging out with us this entire year. We want to connect with you. Let us know what you're doing and where you're at on social media at Checkpoint XP or online all the time at CheckpointXP.com. What is the craziest thing you've ever found in a video game? Have you found it by accident? If so, this next segment may be just for you. We're going back and listening to the best of 2019 with Checkpoint XP Radio.
But we start today talking about the coolest thing you've ever discovered in a game. Games are incredibly rich and detailed environments, and it allows for things to just be discovered. There's like little, sometimes they're Easter eggs, but sometimes they're just like amazing little pieces of game that you right. end up coming across.
Hmm.
And I'm kind of curious what the most epic ones you guys have ever
right,
found
I'm going out on a limb. It's not a big secret or anything like that, but in Skyrim, I discovered the Dark Brotherhood completely by mistake. I did not intend on looking for a quest line. It like many things.
What
in
is
Skyrim.
What is the trigger for the Dark Brotherhood in Skyrim?
There's a certain house that you have to enter, and you fall out, I believe, and then you wake up in a separate house.
Oh,
and you have to choose to decide which person to kill.
Is it the one where the NPC comes to you while you're sleeping, or because? Yeah. Was it in It was
in Morrowind. You get attacked by an assassin in your sleep, and that triggers the Morrowind.
That's right. And in Oblivion, I believe you actually had to kill an innocent person, and then they would come to you when you rested.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
but in Skyrim, it was different because like there were different. Like I don't think you actually had to kill anyone.
No,
for them to come visit you.
You could just trigger it if you just enter. I believe it was one particular house you could enter, and then the next time you rested, you would be absconded and taken to this particular house.
Oh. Interesting.
And so I was freaking the hell out. Like, I was sitting back like, is this broken? Like, is this a glitch? And then the lady's sitting in the corner, like, on the ceiling or something. And I'm just like...
Yeah. She's, like, up on the...
She's, like, perched in the corner. And I'm like, it's official. This game is broken.
So I think... Online games are particularly interesting when it comes to, you know, like finding secrets or coming across, you know, strange things. I play a lot of Fallout 76, and, you know, there are locations on the map that are marked that you can fast travel to. But like any Bethesda game, there's just weird things that you end up coming across in places on the map. The first time that I had found what ended up being Vault 51, again, an unmarked location on the map, and at the time had no numbers. It was just a blank texture that was on the door.
Interesting.
That's super weird.
Super weird. There's another one. There's people call it Carhenge, where it's a bunch of cars and they're arranged like Stonehenge.
Oh, that's cool. Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, like, developers hide this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And I love when they do it.
I feel like in the modern age right now, with how much we spend online, especially when a new game comes out, I usually end up hearing about these from other people or reading them in articles before I have a chance to come across them myself.
Right.
Yeah, a lot of times you're directed.
Yeah.
There.
So, I mean, back in the day, there's bunches of Easter eggs that I've found before, but I think, and I'm not necessarily sure this falls in the purview of what you guys were thinking, but there was once in Final Fantasy VII, with the way that you could set materia, which is, you know, what magic or abilities that you could use. There was a particular one, slash all and multi-cut, which if you slash all, it let you hit everybody at once with your attack, or multi-cut, where you attacked multiple times. I don't know how I did it or what the arrangement of materia was on Cloud, but I hit the attack button, and he slashes all, then jumps out and starts, like, hitting multiple ones, and then jumps back, and then adds another one at the end, and I'm like, that... was like a mini omni slash that I can do every single time.
Wow.
And I had removed all the materia at some point on accident.
Oh, no.
And did it and couldn't get it back into whatever that configuration was before.
So that sounds like you glitched something
maybe?
Out.
Maybe?
Yeah.
Possibly?
Except clearly, like, they had the animation for it. So it seems like it must have been intentional.
Well, slash all had its own special animation.
Yeah.
Joe, what about you? What are some of the coolest things you've ever discovered by accident?
Mine, I think the two that jumped to mind immediately come from the same game, and it was Morrowind.
Another Bethesda game.
Yeah, I'm noticing a pattern here with Bethesda games. They seem really good at this, but I remember in Morrowind, as I was just exploring around the city of Vivec, and I was just going through all the different cantons and trying to figure out what everything was, and I saw one that was in the Lalu one, and it said Vaults. And I was like, ooh, a vault. I mean, that'd be cool if there's actually something like in the vault. And you go in and there's a level, like a lock level 90 door in it. It's a lock level 50 door first. And you have to, so I had the spell that lets me pick that lock.
I
snuck around, picked it. Then there's a level 90 lock right behind it. I'm like, man, I had to like go level up my skill to get it. I get in there and The room is just full of all the most like expensive armors and gems and stuff like that.
And I'm sitting
here like, oh, I just hit the mother load. Holy cow, this is amazing. And then on my way out, the guards were a little upset with me on the way out for not unrelated reasons. So on my way out, I just leave north right out of Vivec, and I come across the Dren Plantation, which is another area with some of the best armor in the game. And there's nothing that directs you to these places or anything like that. You just... happened to go there.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, all the best stuff in the game I found kind of just out of accident.
So
cool.
I kind of want to break our pattern here of just talking about Bethesda games.
Sure.
And actually, like, one of the games that did this maybe the best that I've ever seen executed. And I didn't find it. And I was just enthralled with the treasure hunt that was happening on YouTube. But it was the Mount Chiliad mystery in Grand Theft Auto 5.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
like, yeah. And that was one that I think, and I'm not even sure about this, that I think the developers were adding on to over time.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, players would be able to advance the mystery only so far, and then another update would come for, like, online, and they'd sneak another Easter egg in there and let it advance. I lost track of it at some point. Like, I lost track of the thread of the narrative of where the Easter egg hunt was going, but for a while, it was the most interesting thing in Grand Theft Auto. Now, the most interesting thing in Grand Theft Auto is Grand Theft Auto roleplay,
right.
But, you know, that's neither here nor there. Yeah. But I just love this idea of developers being so dedicated to designing an intricate game world that they, you know, the detail is so specific that you can come across these little small things that only maybe 1% of players will ever find ever.
Yeah, and I think another game that did that really well was actually Banjo-Kazooie back on the N64. They had these three...
Infamous, like, for its Easter eggs.
Yeah, they had these little Easter eggs that, I mean, I spent forever trying to figure out how to get them. Like, there's just this one part in the ice level where behind the ice wall, you can see a key floating in the background. You're like, there's got to be a reason for it.
Yeah.
Why would they put it there? And as it turned out, there was a way to get that key. And after years, I never figured out what it was. And it wasn't until the internet came around that I was able to finally get
internet.
It for myself.
Yeah,
I think
another one that I thought of that I had to actually just look up and remember so I could get the story right is that in GTA 5, also, there's like a cult.
Oh, yeah.
You can only interface with this cult through random events.
Yep.
So I completely discovered this quest line by mistake, and it was really, really interesting.
All right. Well, listen, we got to hear from you on this. What is the most interesting Easter egg or set piece that you've ever stumbled across by accident in a video game? Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram.
That's going to do it for us here at Checkpoint XP Radio for the year of 2019. We're going to catch you in the new year, and that's going to mean that we have all kinds of new things coming your way. So make sure you stay up to date with every single thing that we're doing. Remember, we talk esports and gaming news, and we're online all the time. CheckpointXP.com on Facebook and Twitter at Checkpoint XP and Instagram at Checkpoint_XP. Now, we have some amazing news coming your way in 2020, and so we want to take a second to appreciate every single person who's gone out of their way to really be a supporter in the year 2019. Between the radio show, the podcast, the live streams on twitch.tv/checkpointxp, all of it is appreciated by every single person, and that is the best Christmas gift that we could have asked for in the entire universe. Stay up to date on the latest by subscribing to our podcast. You can search for Checkpoint XP wherever you look for your podcasts at. My name's Weird Beard, and we'll catch you next year.